Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apologies, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday, in our study of 1 Timothy chapter 4, we were taught that as Christians, we should daily be in God's Word to read it, to think on it, and to obey it. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Now, the man of God has to daily, and every saved person needs to daily be in the Word of God, to read it, to think on it, and obey it. See, too many leave churches where the pastor preaches God's Word and His commands. And by the way, there's over 600 commands in the New Testament. We say, I'm not a legalist. Well, do you think God enjoys the fact that you don't think 600 commands in His New Testament are important? That you think you know better than God? I wouldn't want to stand before Him with that on my mind. You see, you're demanding of God when God is calling you to obedience. But what goes on from that, He is to preach the gospel. Preaching the gospel, if you're a saved person, is power to you. To the lost, they'll find that the gospel is their hope of eternal life. Have you ever heard somebody say, oh no, a salvation sermon? Those are things that are just too shallow for me. Well, people who say that are shallow at best. They're carnal. They're vainly puffed up. The Bible tells us clearly in 1 Corinthians that the preaching of the cross is power. This preaching of the gospel is power to we who believe. Therefore, if you don't like sermons that are basically on the plan of salvation and how a person can be saved, you don't like that sermon, the Bible is calling you shallow. How does it feel to be called shallow? But the Bible calls you shallow. And I think some are going to be so built up with pride about their wisdom and knowledge that when we get to heaven and find out, they were at best shallow in God's sight. So the church is being told, this is the pastor's duty. He's to preach it. He's to guard the church. But it's up to you and your personal life what you do with it. You either obey God or you obey man. But the preacher has a responsibility to preach it. We see an example of this in Jeremiah chapter 15, in verses 19 through 21. Jeremiah, a couple times, I think, was ready to quit preaching. I think there were times he was wanting to make friends with those people so they'd quit putting them in stocks and prison and beatings and whatever else they were going to do. And so he says there, therefore, thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then I will bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious from the vile. Now, what's he talking about, the precious from the vile? He's talking about separating from the world. Don't try to make your religion look like the world's religion or anything in the world. You'll take from the precious from the vile, thou shalt be as my mouth. He says to Jeremiah, you'll be my mouth to these people if you'll separate from worldliness. Separate the precious from the vile. Then he adds, let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them. And I will make thee unto this people a fenced brazen wall. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible. And that's God's promise to Jeremiah He says, you're a brazen wall. You're just like a wall in battle. They're going to attack you. They're going to attack your wall. They're going to fight against you. But they're not going to win because I'm with you. I'm going to save you. I'm going to deliver you, even though it looks like they got all the numbers, all the power, and everything's on their side. He says, I'll deliver you out of the hand of the wicked. And I'll redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible. Who are the wicked and the terrible he's talking about? You know, for the most part, that was the religious people of Israel. See, they started making their worship look like the world. They started making their religion like the other religions. They started to compromise and get in with them. And God tells Jeremiah plainly there. He just says, let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them. Don't you go their way. Hey, if they come back, hey, bring them back. Let them come back. But you don't go to them. You let them come to you. And, you know, and sometimes you'll have a church where people leave a church and they've done wrong. And they've attacked, they've attacked, they've attacked. You don't go to them and say, well, look, it's all right. Let's just forget everything and come back. No, they need to come back and ask to come back. They need to apologize. They need to ask forgiveness and do it right. Do it God's way. And I know that doesn't sit well with people. Now, he goes on to say about Jesus, who is the Savior of all men. You know, the phrase there in verse 10, the Savior of all men, has the connotation of he is the only Savior. Acts 4:12 says there's none other name given among men whereby you must be saved. In John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Revelation 20:14-15, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You see, my friend, there are not many roads to heaven. My absolute duty is to tell you that truth. The truth is, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, final complete separation forever from God in hell. However, Romans 5:8 is also absolute truth, that God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, just like we are. He died for us, and he wants to save us from that penalty of sin. Romans 10:9, that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart. Now, when you confess your mouth, that's what people hear. And believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead. Not only did he die for your sins, but he actually rose literally bodily from the dead. He says, thou shalt be saved. With a heart, man believeth unto righteousness. If it's in your heart, it's in your very inner man. And it'll affect you to godly living. It'll affect your life. The heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made to salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My friend, you can be saved. Now, the truth is, knowing he did that for you, you must realize he did it to save you from sin. Matthew 1:21 tells us that his name would be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. But you must be willing for him to take away sin's penalty and sin's power over you. If you want to go ahead and live in your sin, he doesn't save you. Now, that's absolute truth. You simply go to hell if you do not receive him. Now, too many are like those people I just read in Jeremiah. Religious, but you want a religion that's worldly. Too many look for a church by which to be entertained. If a church is such that's not necessary to carry a Bible, you're probably in the wrong church. If they flash scriptures on the screen, but you're not seeing the entire chapter in context, and on top of that, they use another version than the good old King James Bible, or something that's not translated from the Textus Receptus and the Masoretic text, then you're in the wrong church. If they expound on life with a few scriptures thrown in to illustrate it, whether those scriptures are in or out of context, instead of expounding on the scriptures and using a life situation to illustrate it, then you're probably in the wrong church. Seek that church that expounds, that is, that preaches the Word of God and makes it all about Jesus Christ and His holiness instead of philosophical meanderings. Now this takes us on to verse 12, as we look at the inner man in verse 12. There we read, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, and faith, and purity." Now, understand, Paul the Apostle prayed for the people at Ephesus, specifically in Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Now, this letter is addressed to a young pastor by the name of Timothy, who's the pastor in Ephesus. And though he's young, as the pastor of the church, he must carry out the duties of the church according to the Word of God and as the Lord would lead. So, he must lead this church, but it must begin by God's Word on the inner man. Now, we see seven goals in the young pastor's life here in verse 12. First of all, he says, "Let no man despise thy youth." Now, we can be easily influenced by impressive people and end up doing foolish, youthful things. Young preacher, you must learn to walk in the Spirit. Don't do those things that are often associated with immaturity and the foolishness of youth. Some have in the past said, it means don't let them run over you when it says let no man despise thy youth. Don't let no man run over you because you're young. Stand up to them. Back down from no one. Chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Rebuke not an elder." There, it's not talking of the office of an elder. It's talking about a man, an older person. This young pastor said, "Send him, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren." Can you imagine that little boy telling him, "Look, the Bible says, let no man despise thy youth. Your dad starts getting down on your case. You tell him, wait a minute, back off. You're not going to say that to me. You're not going to talk to me that way." Well, if he's a good father, that little boy is not going to be sitting down for a while. The position of pastor is a position of spiritual leadership. The apostles in Acts chapter 6 appointed deacons so that they might give themselves to the word and to prayer.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No break. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.